Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. What you are about to hear was originally recorded in 2010 as research for my book, Public Speaking Superpowers. After going through all this content, I've decided to release these 80-plus recordings as a bi-weekly podcast. I hope you enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. Today, I'm speaking with Davida Shensky. Davida's story is amazing and inspirational. Born with cerebral palsy and raised in a dysfunctional family, she has gone on to overcome her challenges and earn a degree in psychology and become a certified seminar leader through the American Seminar Leaders Association University. Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers, Davida.
Thank you, and I am excited to participate in this program.
Wonderful. Just so listeners can get a feel for your unique expertise and background, could you tell us a little bit about your journey to success in public speaking?
When I was in school, because the laws, Public Law 94-142, which is the Individual Disability Education Act, did not come into existence until 1977 when I was in graduate school, teachers did not understand that I learned differently. So I often did not show my potential whenever I took tests. But the one thing I did find is whenever I did book reports, I found it very easy to speak and tell my story or describe what it was that I read in a way that actually told the story, but it was that I felt comfortable doing that. And no matter how many different areas I went into, getting back into professional speaking and public speaking was often drawing me back, so that was always something that I really loved to do. Also, when I graduated college, it was still before the Americans with Disabilities Act became law. In fact, it was 15 years before. But we were under the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, which under Section 503 and 504 talked about employment. What happened was that it basically stated that if any company did $10,000 worth of business with the government, they were to hire people with disabilities. But it still did not have that clause in it that would give it teeth, so companies would have to guarantee they would hire the best qualified person as stated in the Americans with Disabilities Act. So I found that it was very difficult to find a job with a company, and so I decided, why not look at my skills, look at what it is that I really love to do, look at my education, and start my own business. And my background is in mental health, psychology, and rehabilitation counseling. Rehabilitation counseling is employment counseling for people with disabilities. So when I first started my business, since my background was in training for transactional analysis and psychodrama, I wanted to go to work with the mental health hospitals and come in and do groups. But although I was trained in those fields, I didn't have the master's degree simply because testing-wise, I just didn't do as well, and I was not a good test taker, as you say, partly because of the disability, because it's just that things don't go from short-term memory into long-term memory. Although once I start using the skills and start applying it, what happened was I actually showed my potential. Right. And what I found was that since I was finding that difficult to do, and since I looked back at my skills and realized that I felt comfortable standing up in front of groups, then I joined Toastmasters. And I got the CTM, which gives you the basic skills. Then I took the ATM certification, where you got more into getting up in front of groups, speaking, doing training, different avenues in that area. And so I just built upon those skills. And then I also became a distributor with Carlson Companies, which at the time when I became part of it, it was Personal Dynamics Institute, and it was also, well, it started out being John Geyer Associates, and then it became Performax. And eventually the two merged, and Carlson Companies bought them out, and they became known as Carlson Companies Learning Division and their assessment profiles. And since my background was mental health, then I understood how to do testing and evaluation. Also, besides taking Toastmasters, I also attended the National Speakers Association Georgia chapter. And in there, once you had been in a while, you were able to take part in their mentoring program, and I had someone that helped me put together a speech, and the speech was titled Success is My Only Option. Basically, what that did was talk about the struggle that I went through because society, let me back up, I was born in 1951 and entered the school system in 1956. So, because there were not the laws, and really society didn't even acknowledge its disability community at that time, then, you know, no one understood the relationship of everything or the fact that learning was difficult, so it was all thrown back on me. And then when you grow up in a family where there's a lot of physical abuse, especially emotional and verbal, and one of the things I want to say about that is often you will find that when parents abuse their children, it's because they were abused themselves, and it's the only way they know how to respond to that type of situation, which is another topic within itself. And since I had a background in psychodrama, I had been on several public access TV shows talking about what I did. I was on several radio shows. I participated in the Paralympics, which is Olympics for people with disabilities, physical, and it's different than Special Olympics because Special Olympics are for people with developmental disabilities.
Right.
Paralympics is really people who were born with limbs missing, people who are deaf, people who have disabilities, but they're just as intellectually gifted as everyone else. It's just that society has not made them a part of the mainstream.
Right.
And so that became my, more or less, my expertise. And also, I also have a radio show on the internet that's called Live Without Limits, and it's on Blog Talk Radio. And since my background is rehabilitation counseling, and I was able to observe the changes of what was going on in the workplace and how it changed, and that's a story within itself, because this is something that I mentioned on my radio show, is that jobs that existed 10 years ago don't exist today. Jobs that exist today didn't exist 10 years ago, and there's jobs in the future that haven't been invented yet. Technology is what's running it. So that's what I talk about on my show, is how you can change your attitude about what a job is, because all of these people that are looking for jobs, they could find jobs if they just understand that you can use the same skills that you work within a company, but work from home and do the same thing and contract out with people who need your services, and you're out there working.
Yeah, most definitely.
And that's kind of my journey into how I got into what I do today and why I'm an expert on that topic.
Wonderful. I think your story is just so inspirational, and it touches me personally just because my little sister has a physical disability. She was born with a very rare condition that basically she was born without some of her skeletal muscles. So, for example, she can push her arm out, but she can't pull it back in. So she has limited mobility. She's in a wheelchair, but her mind's perfect.
Yeah.
And I've watched her go through all the challenges that having a physical disability and not looking like a normal, everyday person can do. And I've seen the way people treat her and her friends, because she went to a special school where other people with other disabilities were. And it breaks my heart to see people treat someone badly just because they look different, sound different, or communicate in a different manner.
When I was in school, most of the kids teased me and kept their distance basically because of their ignorance. But recently I've had to have verification from people that I had a disability and that it preceded my 18th birthday. And I had someone that I knew from elementary school on that gave me a review, and she basically said that, you know, she teaches special education now. And she was going like, she's remarkable for what she's accomplished, given the fact that nothing was available at that time, or that people just didn't understand what a disability is, or how you got it, or how it affected someone.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, there are so many different kinds of disabilities that can, I mean, I personally, I have ADD and dyslexia, which are basically invisible disabilities.
But they're
not disabilities at the same time, and because I think in many ways these quote-unquote disabilities, yes, they make it harder for you to do things the way someone else might do it, but they strengthen you in other ways.
Yeah. It's what I've often said is it's not the limitations that I put on myself, but the limitations that society puts on me just because of their preconceived ideas of what someone should be. Think about, you watch, what is it, Entertainment Tonight, some of these other shows, what happens and how do they glamorize some of these people that, to me, one of the, you know, it's like the Kardashians. Who are the Kardashians, you know?
No clue. I just keep hearing their names.
Yeah, and it's like they have a reality show. And all it is because their father was a lawyer who represented O.J. Simpson. That's their claim to fame.
Wow. That's how impressive.
That's their claim to fame. It's like, think about it. Lindsay Lohan, she's only being given a slap on the wrist. She's still not ready. She may be sitting there saying, oh, I'm ready to go back. All it is the family is not there in supporting her. They were not there to make sure that the people around her did not do, I mean, because I don't know if you, what is it, Hannah Montana, you know, with
Miley
Cyrus. Yeah, okay. Her father's Billy Ray Cyrus, but because he went through it, in his time coming up, he understood how you have to watch out and make sure that these handlers don't take advantage of them. And she's a lot better adjusted than any of the others. I mean, just look at Britney Spears and some of them and what they've gone through because their families were not there to support them.
Yeah, I mean, there's a long list of child entertainers who end up with really lousy lives because they didn't have a support structure and the people who disciplined them the way they should have been. And it's really quite sad because a lot of these people are very talented.
And not going to show their talent because they're too busy with the idea of their image that they're supposed to be because this is what society tells them they're supposed to be.
Right. Well, given your really unique background and experience, what are your thoughts on this idea? Is public speaking a learned skill or something you're born to be able to do, and why have you come to that conclusion?
To me, you find some people that their behavior pattern is to be very outgoing. For someone like that, you're going to find that doing public speaking comes very easy to them. But you can also learn to be a professional speaker because you can take Toastmasters, you can be part of the National Speakers Association, and you learn the skills. What is it, the thing that I've always heard, what's the biggest fear that people have is public speaking. And in Toastmasters, first you go through the CTM certification, and that's 10 speeches. The first speech is no more than a 3-minute speech where you give a little bit synopsis about your personal life because that's
the
what you
icebreaker.
Feel easy. Yeah. But then they have table topics where someone comes up with a topic that you have to speak on extemporaneously.
Yeah.
And then that gives you the experience of being able to think on your feet and speak.
Yeah. In fact, my personal experience with Table Topics is when I first started Toastmasters, I, like, every time Table Topics came around, I wanted to crawl under the table. And within, like, 6 months, I was like, oh, choose me.
Yeah, because you got more comfortable speaking, and it was the fear of getting in front of the group and speaking that was the thing.
Yeah.
And today, what it is if you think back, 15, 20 years ago, for someone to be a professional speaker, first they had to put out a book, and they had to figure out a way to either become self-published. If you think about what was a Chicken Soup for the Soul, they first self-published their first book, and then all of a sudden, all of the national publishing companies came to them and said, we want to do a series on these.
Yeah.
And think about it. Even someone who works within a company, as they move up into management, they have to learn to feel comfortable standing in front of groups and giving presentations.
Oh, yeah. So in fact, Toastmasters helps not only with giving a presentation in front of the audience, but even giving a presentation to your boss. There's just two of you, but it gives you that confidence. Having public speaking skills gives you a confidence that helps you in communicating in all manners and situations.
Yeah, as I was saying, that if you look at it today, see, professional speakers, years ago, they had to go to work with training companies and travel around with the training company, and that meant they would fly out on Sunday, go to the town they were supposed to start in. They would have to come in and set up the room. Then they would do the presentation. Then they would break down the room and ship all the products back. Then they would get in the car and they would drive to the next city. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, today you can be a professional speaker and you don't have to do all that travel. All you have to do is understand how to use teleconferencing bridge lines,
yeah,
how to do webinars, and how to develop your own programs. I mean, I do a radio show on the internet, and that was unheard of even 10 years ago.
Oh, even 5 years ago.
And every time I do it, I'm creating product, and I've been doing it for 4 years. And then I had, what was it, Voice America, you know, radio network?
Right, yes.
They contacted me. They want me to move my show to their network, and this way, if I get companies to advertise on my show, then that will cover the expenses of the show, and then over and above those expenses, I make money off it.
Yes. In fact, I've talked with them, too, about one of my podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting business model that they have.
Yeah. It's different because you'll get a wider audience than you'll ever get on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's take this a different tact here. If you were a public speaking superhero, what do you believe would be your main superpowers?
Okay. My superpower as a motivational speaker is to help clients learn to believe in themselves and their abilities. And as you remember, every professional speaker is a motivational speaker. They're all saying the same thing. The difference is the stories they tell. Like, I come from a family that was very dysfunctional. I had a father that physically abused, a mother that emotionally and verbally abused. I mean, she never said anything nice to you. She never gave you a word of encouragement. And being a child with a disability, I had very low self-esteem. And then only when I entered college and started studying mental health and psychology, mainly because I always wanted to understand, why was I going through this? What was it that, you know, that
yeah,
I could give? And that led me to understand, because I'm always watching behaviors and understanding when people react certain ways, because that's the behavior and that's the way they know how to respond in that situation. For instance, I mean, I have a sister that's deaf, and she's older than I am. And her personality was that she needed to be encouraged. And if they had encouraged her to achieve goals, to set goals, and taught her to believe in herself, then she would have gone further. But because they kept telling her, you're helpless, you're worthless, you can't live on your own. So what happened to her was she literally would sit there and physically beat up on herself. Then my younger sister comes in. She's basically following the same behaviors that my mother does. And what does she do to her? She'll turn around and start breaking up everything she has. It's like, that's supposed to make her stop doing. No, that's not going to make her stop. That's going to make her more reactive. Her behavior patterns are going to get even worse. The problem is, if you're sitting home doing nothing and you don't have anything to talk about, what do? Talk about the past. And so instead of saying, let's find a way to get you involved in something that will help you to have something other than the past to talk about, they start screaming and yelling at her, and that makes them more upset. And
yeah,
that's why I'm saying that what makes me different is the stories I tell and how it relates to what is going on now. Because think about it. Most people who have limiting beliefs is because somewhere along the line, someone kept telling them, you can't. And what
right,
happens? You buy into, you can't. So how do you learn to overcome those things? So that's what I'm saying, that what makes me a superpower is that helps me when I use those stories. And the fact that I was able to find a way to earn an income for myself, then that becomes the story that I use that influences other people and helps them understand how they can learn to overcome their issues. Now, I want to go back and talk about something that happens in a book called Scripts People Live by Thomas Gordon. In there, there's a story called The Fuzzy Tail.
Okay.
And there's a family, a mother, a father, and a daughter. And the family gives out warm fuzzies as though there's no tomorrow. Then a witch comes along and she gets very jealous. So she goes to the family and she tells them, well, you know, if you keep giving out warm fuzzies, they're going to run out. So the family stops giving out warm fuzzies and they start giving out cold pricklies and false fuzzies. So what happens? The town begins to shrivel and die.
Yeah.
So then a hip woman comes along and she goes to the family and she says, well, you know, you can't run out of warm fuzzies.
Yeah.
So they start giving out warm fuzzies again, and guess what? The town begins to thrive and grow. So the moral of that is it's all a mindset, and if you believe in yourself, if you can pat yourself on the back, you can give yourself a word of encouragement, then yes, you can be just as good as anyone else. The whole thing is, it's how you see yourself.
Right.
And that really changes. And I think that my having a good understanding of that has helped me become very good at what I do.
Yeah. And I've actually read one of his books. I read T.A. for Tot. The way he tells the stories and, you know, like if you give someone a lot of warm fuzzies, they turn into a prinz. And if you give them too many cold pricklies, they turn into a froz. And you can turn the frozes into prinzes by giving them warm fuzzies. It's really some amazing stuff there. And it's very true. When you give people positive reinforcement, they flourish.
Mm-hmm. That's why I have learned that if you change and you change for the better, sometimes you have to disassociate yourself from the people who are giving you those cold pricklies, and that can be your own family.
Oh, yeah. I once heard Ray Bradbury speak. He's one of my favorite authors, and the advice he really likes to give is take a look at the people in your life, and those people who aren't supporting you, that are cutting you down and bringing you down, fire them. Get them out of your life. It's not because you want everyone to be a yes person, but if someone's going to critique you and give you some negative feedback, they do it in a warm, loving manner.
Yeah, and what I find is usually those people who are that negative is because they don't like themselves.
Yeah.
And to make themselves feel better, they're going to tear someone else down, and they're going to scream and yell at you, and then they're going to blame you for the things that they do.
Right, yeah. Going back to the superpower of helping people believe in themselves, what advice would you give someone if they wanted to develop that particular superpower too?
Okay, I would suggest to them that first, if they want to become a speaker, that what they need to do is go to Toastmasters, get in front of different groups like, the Kiwanis Club, and you got a lot of social groups, and you got Leeds Club, and you got Power Core, where you get the opportunity to do a little bit of speaking in front of groups on a volunteer basis, feel more comfortable doing it. Go to National Speakers Association in your state, learn the 8 skills, develop your product, work with someone else who's successful, and get them to mentor you, and then what happens is eventually you learn what you need to learn, and you put it all together, and then part of that is you've got to write a book. Okay, what you say?
Yeah.
And learn how to build a website and market yourself, because if you don't know how to use the internet today, I don't care what business you're in, you're not going to be successful.
Oh, most definitely. But it's not just your website. It's your entire online footprint. It affects everything in your business.
You got to think about Google. What is your ranking on Google?
Yeah. And it can be your ranking with your name, your business name, whatever keyword you're trying to go for, you know, all those kinds of things. So there's a lot that goes into that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your unique experience and expertise with us today, Devita.
Thank you. And thank you for giving me the opportunity of being part of this book.
Your thing. This is the end of this episode of Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence, signing off.
Because this was recorded a few years back, I've cut the speaker's contact information from the recording because it may have been out of date. If you would like to learn more about today's speaker, go to publicspeakingsuperpowers.com/featured speakers and click on her picture. I'm working to keep the information there as fresh as possible.